check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, we are joined by not one, but two special guests, Anthony Perry from Fantistics and Colby Conway from Fantasy Alarm and Big Guy Fantasy Sports. We discuss the latest news and then dip our toes into the warm waters of the outfield pool, looking at the top 50 overall outfielders.
Fantasy jousting?
Joe left me mid sashimi.
I got live breaking news.
There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. With hashtag Shark Week.
Do you actually balance your checkbook?
But he hasn't had a chance to suck yet.
I want somebody with some chest hair I can grip onto.
What are his weapons?
Shut up and talk.
Those boards don't work on water!
I'm the destroyer of burritos.
Be sure to cut all that out, Jesse.
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things.
This isn't a joke.
Eating ain't cheating.
Welcome to episode 108 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Dots Pretzels. I am Nathan Dock, and you can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dock. And I am joined today by two very special guests, not one but two. Neither Joe nor backup co-host Van could be with us tonight. He had something come up at the last minute. So first I'll introduce his minute replacement. It is, thanks for joining us on such short notice. I really appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely, Nate. Glad to be here.
And, of course, the complete opposite of that, a man who I booked several weeks ago, our Lord and Savior over at Fantistics Insider Baseball, is Anthony Perry. Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
Hey, Nate. Glad to be here, bud.
It is good to talk to both of you in person for the first time. So how are you guys feeling about the baseball season? We're finally getting into things. We got Mike Trout up at the plate right now, everything as well. What do you guys think about the WBC? Are you getting stoked for that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's neat to have it back, and I believe it hasn't been here for, what, 3 or 4 years, I believe?
I think it is.
So
Yeah, it's about right, about 4 years, I believe.
Something like that. It'll be neat to see some of these teams are really loaded with talent, and then it's nice for us fantasy players, too, to get a good look at some of these guys and some real good competition.
Yeah, no, it's always a good thing, especially, you know, a lot of times you don't get to see the international players, obviously, because, you know, they're in their respective countries. But when we do get to see these WBC classics, we get to see players that, you know, that might be here in another, you know, couple of years. And, you know, I particularly take a look at those players that are out in the Far East, because there is value. And one day, you know, the top tier does end up coming over.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's... It's definitely got my juices flowing right now, so we're going to talk some baseball for about the next hour here. Before we get into all of the actual fantasy baseball stuff, just a little bit of housekeeping. You can email us to get into the fantasy, the 2017 podcast league, I should say, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com. We'll probably be taking entries for about the next week for that before we lock it up and... you know, get rolling, because we have to get a date set for the drafts for everybody there. And you can also, of course, tweet at us, as always, at Fantasy Amateurs. And if you take a moment to rate and review the podcast, again, we're sponsored by Dots Pretzels. And if you do that, then we will give you free Dots Pretzels. So you should probably do that.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Hey, if either of you guys want to go out there, you want some free pretzels, you know how to do it now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
I'd like some pretzels right now.
There you go. These are the best pretzels in all of the land, I promise you. Made in Velva, North Dakota here.
Awesome.
So we're going to...
Glad to see that you guys are producing something outside of oil.
Yeah. Oh, and much more delicious than oil as well. Goes a lot better with a cool beer. So let's actually talk about... Since we have you on, Anthony, and... of course, I am a part of the Fantistics family as well. Let's talk a little bit about what Fantistics has to offer, just in case somebody out there in our listening audience is not really aware of how great the software is, for example, and what Fantistics is doing this time of year. Sort of
give your synopsis of what the site can offer everybody right now.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks for the build-up there. We take a look at we're pretty big on Saber Matrix, as you know, and, you know, you're one of our guys, you're one of our analysts over there. You know, we take it, you know, the next step over, and we make our projections based on Saber Matrix principles. You know, there's indicators such as home run to fly ball rates that are no longer really looked at as blanket rates. You know, each of them have unique characteristics, such as batted ball speed, that play a big part into that. And, of course, you know, that drives all the other categories that many fantasy players use, like RBIs and runs scored. And, you know, of course, batting average is no longer a component purely based on, you know, is it a blanket BABIP, or is it, you know, really based on the player's skill? And we're finding that hard hit rates plays a big part into that. And that all draws into our, you know, Fantastics player projections program that we sell during the preseason and people use in their drafts.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really, really, honestly, just really smart stuff with all the Saber Matrix. And that's really why I love working for Fantastics, because that's the aspect that has really drawn me in to fantasy baseball. And, you know, it just makes me want to keep digging deeper and deeper into this stuff, especially as we see new stuff like StatCast come out, you know, with exit velocity and launch angle and the barrels and all that kind of stuff. And it's just another level that we're getting to now. And, Anthony, I did want you to touch on as well an article that you put out, and it's been mentioned a lot on the SiriusXM show, partially because it was so great last year. So looking at it pretty hard again this year, how some players that, you know, had sort of unlucky or lucky home run for fly balls last year that are either going to be trending upward or downward in that regard this year. So can you tell us a little bit about what factors into that, and maybe give us a name or two?
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned before, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it than just looking at simple stuff like home run to fly ball rate. It's really the quality and frequency of contact and the location of contact that makes a big deal. Last year, we did a study, and, you know, we projected, you know, I'll just throw a couple names out there, McCutcheon, Kemp, Trumbo, Dozier, Granderson, Bryant, Carter, and Upton. We thought that their home run totals were, I guess, deficient based on the way they were hitting the ball. And sure enough, you know, most of those guys came through, and their home run to fly ball rates increased considerably. So when we look at home run to fly ball rates, it's more than just batted ball speed. Some of the factors that go into it are stadium variance and location of where they're hitting the ball. You know, pull percentage adds essentially a mile or two to a batter's velocity on his home runs. And we find that pull hitters tend to have that advantage in the home run to fly ball rate. So, you know, as you mentioned, there's quite a few hitters this year that will probably pop up. And to throw some names out there, you know, we're looking at Anthony Rendon as one of those players. Last year, he had a home run to fly ball rate of about 10%, and we're projecting something closer to 16% based on his peripherals. Matt Carpenter, another guy, last year hit a 13% home run to fly ball rate. We think it should be closer to 17%. Salvador Perez, his home run to fly ball rate was around 12% last year. We're thinking it should be somewhere around 15%. Marcell Ozuna was around 14%. We're projecting around 17% this year. And the other guy that we feel is deeply undervalued is Stephen Piscotty. 13% home run to fly ball rate last year. We're projecting something closer to 16 this year.
And then on the flip side of that, of course, you have the number one guy, pretty much far and away, Gary Sanchez, a lovely 40% home run for fly ball last year, obviously very unsustainable. So we've talked about him before, but I guess with that, I mean, that gives us a pretty good idea. And, of course, you can go to insiderbaseball.com and check that out. I believe that's all free, correct?
Yeah. Insiderbaseball.com/blog, or you'll see the blog link on the insiderbaseball.com website. And the blog is completely free during the preseason. You know, we're talking, you know, 5, 10, 15 players every day that we feel are either under or overvalued coming into the draft season. And then there's also a link for a free demo. Check out the software.
Yeah, the software is tremendous. I checked it out last year, and you know, it's even got an option out this year as well to link it in with your Yahoo draft, I believe. And so everything, like the players come off the board, you know, with the draft, and the action values, you know, they move and shift with the draft, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all synced into the Yahoo draft room, and as the draft is going on, the players come off the board, and the software will tell you basically, you know, who we and, you know, we're big on position scarcity, so that factors into it. It's not a static list. The list moves as the positions are, you know, being taken off the board, and it'll tell you who the best players are that are available at that turn.
Yes, it is. It is excellent, and I used it last year in a points league that I have of mine, where the scoring is a lot different from your typical points league, and that helped me a lot. I believe I ended up taking second as far as total points in that league, and the first guy had Clayton. Yeah, Clayton Kershaw. So that's like an unfair advantage. but it worked. Yeah. It worked out very well.
I whatever league I'm in, I always do that. I always add different categories in there to try to just shake it up a little bit, you know, try to diverge a little bit from that simple 5x5. I'm a big believer in fantasy point leagues or head-to-head leagues. I love those leagues. And you know, as obscure as a stat is, you know, we recommend it because it'll put you in an advantage, especially if you're using, you know, something like our software. That'll have that type of scoring, and again, it diverges from, you know, what the status quo is and what you'll simply find in maybe a magazine. You'll be able to maybe gain an edge that way.
Yeah, certainly, and the projections are tremendous on the website as well, and they all have, you know, every player has personalized notes from you. Colby, what do you think, though? We've been blabbering on about fantasy for a long time here. I don't mean to leave you in the dark, but what about you between head-to-head and Roto? What's your favorite?
So when playing with friends and, you know, in home leagues, family leagues, friend leagues, I like the head-to-head aspect because, you know, every week after, you know, the 8 o'clock game on Sunday, you know whether you won or lost, and you can send that text out, you can make the phone call, or you can look right next to you if they're sitting right next to you. If you're playing, you know, other people maybe in the industry, if you're in an industry league, I prefer Roto in those formats, but I know a bunch of my leagues I do head-to-head categories, and we actually, you guys talked about spicing it up. We do a 9x9 format with head-to-head category. So it's interesting, to say the least.
Nice. I like that.
It's something new. Something new.
Yeah, I've been tinkering with, you know, I prefer Roto myself just because the head-to-head, it just drives me nuts. Every time I get to the playoffs, I always lose. It doesn't matter how good my team is. I could be 23-0 in the first week of the playoffs. I will get beat no matter how good my team is, and it just is so maddening. It drives me nuts. So I prefer Roto because of there's less heartbreak. I was going to plug myself, actually. I was on the Bench with Bubba podcast, and we talked about this, and that's I almost forgot to plug that. So go check that out at SD Sports on iTunes. But with that, guys, we're going to answer an email question as we find out what's in the box.
What's in the box?
All right, and this is it's a pretty basic one. This is Miles from Bismarck. He asks, which four-lettered starting with C Seattle Mariner slugger would you rather draft, Cruz or Cano? I have this decision to make in one of my leagues next week and probably again in my other league. Thanks, Miles and Bismarck. So, Colby, we'll start with you on this one. Between Cruz or Cano, I guess, in a nutshell, where are you going?
I'm probably going Cano. I like his position, you know, being second base. And each year, I continue to think Cruz is going to fall off. He hasn't done it yet, but probably for the third year in a row, I think this will finally be the season that Cruz, you know, takes a dip in home runs, and he might end up down in that low 30 mark, which would be a pretty big drop from last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's been pretty consistently around that 40 home run mark for the last couple of years. So, Anthony, what do you think?
Yeah, I am going to go with Cano also. I think that there's going to be a drop-off compared to what we saw last year. You know, what was great about Cano last year was he reconnected with his hard hit rates of about 36%, which is elite. But it's going to be difficult for him to sustain that 18% home run to fly ball rate based on his batted ball speed and his hard hit rates. Again, that's going to be hard to repeat. So I don't think that we're going to see the 39 home runs from him, but you know what, 28 home runs with 95 plus RBIs for a second baseman. Yeah, I'm leaning Cano here.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're gonna sweep it then. I told him Cano. It was my gut reaction, and I've been off of Cruz for the last 2 years now. I think I've put him on my bust list for each of the last 2 years, and he has proven me wrong each of the last 2 years. Obviously, it made me look very, very stupid. So I am done hating on him. I feel like he is just immortal, and he will never stop hitting 40 home runs. So I'm just not going to draft him rather than put him on any bust list anymore. Whenever he fades off is fine with me. But, yeah, I'm definitely going Cano on this one. So with that, we'll move into the news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
All right, and we're going to start off with far and away the biggest news item that we've had so far this preseason, and that is the fact that Tim Tebow hit 8 home runs or 9 home runs in batting practice. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to talk about Tim Tebow today. Instead, we'll talk about David Wright, who is out several weeks with a shoulder impingement. So, Anthony, what do you think? Are you bumping Jose Reyes way up your draft boards now, and are you drafting David Wright at all?
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, I had much confidence in David Wright coming in before this injury because, let's face it, this is an injury that it's just not going to go away, his lower back injury, stenosis or narrowing of his spine, the lower spine, is something that you just don't, you know, snap out and get 162 games out of someone, especially at 34 years old. So, you know, going into this before the injury, we were only projecting 400 at-bats. He wasn't draftable, I would say, in your typical league and even in deeper leagues I've played in. I really haven't seen him go. He's got a 20th round ADP, and I think that, you know, maybe that's indicative of people, you know, basing it on his personality because he is a great guy. But I think that, you know, the end of the line is almost here for David Wright. And, you know, again, it was for me, it was Reyes over Wright from the get-go.
Yeah, I totally agree. Colby, is there any chance that you're drafting David Wright?
I wasn't drafting him before the shoulder injury, and I certainly won't be now. It's as if I needed any more confirmation not to draft, you know, the always injured David Wright.
Yeah, I think we've made several jokes on this podcast already as far as Jose Reyes needing about days to take David Wright's job, you know, when he gets hurt, and it didn't even take that long. It happened in preseason, sadly. But another injured guy here, Anthony DiSclafani, has been scratched from his next start, and the Reds do think that he will be ready for opening day now. So, Colby, we'll start with you on this one. Are you still drafting DiSclafani now? And also, do you have any sort of dark horse as far as someone to fill in for that fifth starter job?
Yeah, so with fantasy baseball, there's a couple things we know, and it played out well. David Wright's going to get hurt, and just about every Cincinnati Reds pitcher is going to deal with an injury at some point in the season. I don't know what it is there, but everyone seems to get hurt. You're looking at probably Brant Finnegan's going to get the opening day start, most likely. And I think that fifth spot could go to Robert Stevenson. He showed a little bit of potential last season, and he's one of their more touted pitchers they have in the minors. So Stevenson will probably move into the rotation so long as DiSclafani is actually going to miss some time.
All right, Anthony, what do you think? Are you still drafting DiSclafani?
Well, I guess it all depends on the price. I mean, right now, I mean, he had an 18th round ADP coming in. That was the consensus on him. You know, I could see taking him maybe in the final rounds here. Again, we'll get more news out of it once, you know, the days go by. But, yeah, outside of that, there's almost no reason to draft a Reds starting pitcher this year. They're going to struggle, you know, and looking down into their farm system, they do have someone named Amir Garrett, who is a great pitcher. I would say he's a very good pitcher, but there's a potential that he'll get called up. But again, we're talking about a fifth starter type potential in your fantasy type leagues, not someone that I would run out and draft at this point, but someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're in a very, very deep league, maybe one of those NFBC draft and hold type leagues, maybe look at Amir Garrett. But like you said, too, I mean, I don't know even if he's necessarily that ready. I think he's still pretty much a two-pitch guy at this point. So it's hard to project him really seeing any sustained success in the rotation. So our final bit of news, real quick, Joe Blanton signed with the Nationals, 1 year, $4 million. So, Colby, is he the handcuff to Sean Kelly now?
For the national sake, I hope not. I've never been too big on Blanton. I still like that that Kota Glover they have there. I think he's the intriguing aspect to that Washington bullpen. I do think Kelly's going to get the opening job as the closer, and Blanton's veteran presence might push him closer to getting some saves, but I still think there's something intriguing about that Kota Glover.
Interesting. All right. Anthony, are you drafting? Do you feel safe drafting Sean Kelly this year?
I don't know if I'd feel safe say drafted Sean Kelly, but yeah, I mean, right now we've got him ranked among the relievers as the 22nd, reliever closer type player. He's not shut it down type player, but they really don't have much. There is those flyers Kota Glover is one of them that has that potential, but there's nobody really pushing him for the job. So I think that he's going to hold on to that slot unless there's a really big blow up point during the year.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week on the podcast as well, so I won't go too in depth. But it just seems weird that now I'm sort of worried about Joe Blanton. I don't know if he's necessarily going to usurp him, Kelly, as far as the closer. But it seems like just yesterday where Joe Blanton was the worst pitcher in major leagues. Now I'm worried about him taking my closer, Sean Kelly, because I have him in a dynasty league. I think Kelly will hold on to the job for most of the season unless he gets hurt. But with that, that's going to wrap up our news, and we're going to move on to ADP Wars. All right, what we're going to do here is we take two similarly drafted players and pit them against each other, basically see who we are going to draft. And this is just according to FantasyPros.com consensus average draft position. So, Anthony, we're going to start over with you. Our first ADP war is going to be Ryan Braun, whose ADP is 34.7, versus AJ Pollock, whose ADP is also 34.7. So they're neck and neck right now. Between those two guys, who are you drafting?
I think Braun is really not getting a lot of love, and he's been pretty consistent, in the post-Peb era that he put onto himself. But, last year we saw a big jump in his home run to fly ball rate. That kicked up to 29%. I think that the home runs are going to back off this season. But, what was a very promising sign was that his bats picked up last year. He's a solid contact guy. He's got an 81% contact rate, which is great for a power hitter. And, so we're looking at somewhere between, 19 to 20% with his home run to fly ball rate. So, we're projecting 26 home runs, 94 RBIs, 86 runs scored with, 17 stolen bases. And the average is going to be there. He's going to be a 280 plus hitter. So I'm going to go with Braun, although Pollock has that potential to maybe surpass him. I think that Braun is a safer pick. And early on, I like to be a little bit safer.
All right, Colby, what do you say?
Anthony hit it right on the head. Early on, I like to be a little safer too. We all know Milwaukee loves to run. I'm huge on Keon Broxton this year, so as long as he stays at the top of the order with Jonathan VR, Ryan Braun's going to have plenty of RBI chances. We all know Ryan Braun's going to deal with a nagging injury at some point in the season, and he'll miss a random game here and there. But Anthony's right. Braun's not getting the love that he should be getting, and If you're at pick 33, 34, 35, and Braun is still there along with AJ Pollock, I'd feel safer going with Braun. There is something sexy about Pollock's upside, but early on, get safe, get your five category production, and go ahead and just take Ryan Braun and move on with the rest of your draft.
Oh boy. Well, I guess I'm going to be the dissenting opinion here because I'm not one to usually use safe and Ryan Braun in the same sentence. Played just 135 games last year, and that's sort of par for the course over the last couple of years. So while Pollock obviously screwed me over in a couple of leagues, he missed the entire season, and he does have a little bit of a track record of injury as well. I actually feel safer with AJ Pollock. I mean, Ryan Braun, he did strike 30 home runs last year, but he also just had 25% fly ball rate, and he needed a 28% home run per fly ball to get there. And, as far as the stolen bases go, I was actually pretty surprised that he did get back up there. But, just another year older. the only thing that is keeping them going, I think, is that Milwaukee just likes to run so much. So I would expect maybe less playing time. You know, they're still trying to deal him, so maybe he gets dealt to a worse hitter's park, I guess, if you're just looking at potential outcomes. But Pollock, I mean, we saw 30 steal potential. I think he could hit 15 home runs this year again with 300 batting average if he's healthy, and score 100 runs at the top of that Arizona lineup. So I'm actually a pretty big fan of Pollock this year. I think I'm going to end up with him in a lot of leagues. We'll go on then to David Dahl, who is our 92nd player off the board, versus Matt Kemp, who is at 94. So, Colby, we will start with you on this one.
So, I love David Dahl in Colorado, and it's hard not to get excited about any hitter in at Coors Field. But Matt Kemp is someone this year I do like, just for the fact that, you know, you look at his numbers from last year, and you know that his fly ball rate and his isolated power should drop. But if I'm not mistaken from what I heard, the new Braves Park is supposed to be hitter-friendly, so I think that could neutralize those regressions just a little bit. Obviously, we know with Matt Kemp, the health is always a big factor. He's been able to stay healthy lately. But in this case, as we move a couple rounds back from the Braun-Pollock dilemma, I'm going to go with David Dahl just for the fact of being Coors Field. And I do think this season he could get to 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases. And at that value, a 2020 guy is hard to find. I'd go with Dahl between these two guys.
Okay. Normally I go next, but I'm torn here. So, Anthony, will you state your case? Make up my mind for me.
I am going to go with Colby here. I'm going to agree with everything he said. It's Matt Kemp for me. You know, last year he posted a big year with 35 home runs and 180 RBIs. And, you know, again, you know, he wasn't even doing it in a hitter's ballpark. And if the ballpark plays out like they're saying it's going to play out, you know, I expect there's going to be a dip. I don't think he's going to hit 30 again. But if he gives me 28 and 96 RBIs, which is well within his potential, I think that's going to do better than Dahl. I think, you know, Dahl is the hype on him is just it's over the top. You know, you take a look at his home run to fly ball rate last year. That is not sustainable. So I think that, you know, people are, you know, over drafting him right now. I like Kemp, and I go Kemp here.
Did you say Dahl, Colby?
I did. I really talked. It's one of those things where I talked Kemp up when I was talking, but then I started looking at what I wrote about Dahl, and I started getting more and more excited about him.
Oh, did you really? Okay.
Yeah, it was. No, absolutely. I like both these guys. I mean, you're right, too, that, you know, Dahl with the home run to fly ball, that's not sustainable, and his BABIP of 404 is going to come down. But it's so hard to go against anybody at Coors Field. It's one of those things. It's almost like I'm picking Coors Field over Matt Kemp, the player. I'm picking a field over a player.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you guys are supposed to both pick a guy, so it would make it easier on me. I guess if I had to lean one way, I would probably just go with who's ever there for me at my next pick and cop out. But I guess Dahl, you know, I guess he is going a little bit higher than I would like to take him, but with the steals, I think that's just going to be the tiebreaker for me. I think he could hit 20 home runs. I think the only thing that's going to save his batting average is Coors, because he had a 15% swinging strike rate last year and just 72% contact. So I think if I'm looking for more reliability, I think I would go Kemp. Supposedly he lost 30 pounds this year, best shape of his life, like everybody else. But I actually believe that he'll be Matt Kemp instead of Fat Kemp this year. So I like both of these guys, actually, but I guess in a pinch I'd probably just take Dahl.
Well, Pablo Sandoval lost 30 pounds too, supposedly, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, he coughed up Jackie Bradley Jr., from what I understand.
Sandoval did double today, so I guess maybe he's back. Who knows?
Oh, man, did anybody clock him home to second? How long did that take?
I'm going to hope it was an improvement upon last year's running. I mean, it has to be.
I hope he got a steel belt or something reinforced so it doesn't snap again. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, but that made Twitter fun for a couple days.
It really did. Oh, man, good times. The panda. Okay, moving on to number three in our ADP wars here. We've got Odubel Herrera versus Jackie Bradley Jr., and they're both going off the board at pick 122 on average. And so I guess I'll start us off on this one. And I've never really been a huge Jackie Bradley fan. I was pretty surprised at his sort of breakout last year. But then again, Odubel did sort of the same. He really tapered off in the second half, but then I guess Jackie Bradley. He really just had one good month himself. But with Herrera, that 9.6% walk rate is a little bit deceiving. 22% of the time in April, and then very little after that. Below average hard contact, just 32% fly balls. Leads me to believe that the home runs will fall a little bit, more like 10 to 12 instead of 15, which he hit last year. And as far as stolen bases, I could see another 25. Last year is 25 for 32, 78% should get the green light. And Jackie Bradley, for what it's worth, he did manage to cut a lot off that K rate, just about 5%, 4.5% from his strikeout rate. So that is the improvement you want to see from a young guy. Improved in swing strike rate and contact rate, but neither of which are still really good. So you get a little speed, maybe 20-25 home runs again. And the lineup is going to save his value a little bit. It's just such a good lineup there in Boston. But I think Odubel right now, Roster Resources has him hitting third, and that is pretty nice, even in a lesser lineup. So I think I'm going to go with Herrera in this one. But Anthony, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Herrera, too. Let's start with Bradley. He hit a stride last year with 26 home runs, 87 RBIs, and 94 runs scored. His batted ball speed was excellent. It was around 36%. But his batting average remains a risk because of his contact rate, which is somewhere around 75-76%. He needs to do better versus lefties. Last year, I think he was around 360 with a slug against lefties. He's going to have to improve that. What I like about Herrera, who is the guy that I'm favoring here, is the stolen bases. When you add that to 15 or so home runs, and if he can give you 25, possibly 30 stolen bases, I think there's more value here. And then it's the average also. 286 last year, I think he's right around that range. I think he's a 275, 280 type hitter. And that's really where, it goes as far as the tiebreaker for me is the batting average. So, both of these guys are really closely paired, I think. But Herrera is the guy for me.
All right, Colby, you going to make it a sweep?
I bet I am. 3 for 3 on Herrera. Nate, you said everything. Well, that was, that was good to the point with Bradley. It's the big month, and then he regressed. And I like Herrera to actually touch 30 stolen bases this season. I think his continued stolen base success rate will allow Philly to let him run more, hitting in the three hole. I'm going to go with Herrera over Bradley in every draft.
Very well. All right. We are in consensus then, so we shall move on into our final ADP war, and that is going to be Dexter Fowler at pick 168 versus Byron Buxton at 173. Anthony, we shall start with you. What say you?
Now we're talking about, the 15th round or somewhere in that vicinity.
Yep.
Now, this is where I start going for more of the upside. And for me, it's Buxton at this point. He's far from a finished product. 36% K rate, 68% contact rate. But once he was healthy, we saw really who this guy was. Last year, he had a weighted batting average, on-base percentage of .419 in his final 29 games. I think there's a high upside. There's no doubt about it, but there's also the high risk. But I think a 2020 season is within reach for Buxton in 2017.
All right, Colby, what do you think?
I'm going with Anthony. I'm going Buxton again. I like the 2020 upside this season. I like how his average was, pushing .290 in September, October last season. And Fowler served a stint on the disabled list 3 of the last 4 years. So at that point, I'll take a risk and give me Buxton and let's hope for the best.
Yeah, in an OBP league, I think I would go Fowler, but in any other scenario, I was actually, when I was doing a mock draft recently, I had this exact decision to make. I needed an outfielder. I ended up going with Fowler, and I kind of hated myself for it, especially as a Twins fan. I think I will go with Buxton in general. Like I said, as long as it's not an OBP league, or maybe in a points league, I guess, now that I think about it, but maybe Buxton gets some triples in there and makes up for the lackluster plate discipline. Because even last year in September, he was still striking, when he had that 1,000-plus OPS, he was still striking out 33% of the time. So he does have a long ways to go on the contact and the plate discipline and everything. But, man, if he can just I wish he would just beat the ball into the ground a little bit more, to be honest. He hits so many fly balls. I kind of wish he would just do more of a D. Gordon, and sort of raise his batting average and steal just a ton of bases because that dude is so fast. So I think that 2020 is on the table with him, and hopefully he succeeds to start the season, and he is the leadoff bat for Minnesota instead of Brian Dozier, which is just stupid, in my opinion. And Byron Buxton would be perfect up there. So I guess we'll sweep it in that way. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with our targets.
Target acquired.
All right, we have returned on the Nasty Cast, and we are going to talk guys that we love, our top 50 outfield targets. Anthony, we shall start with you here. Some guys that you really like their value this year.
One of the guys that I'm grabbing in a lot of drafts, and he's going in the 16th, 17th round, is Marcell Ozuna. Ozuna was on his way to a breakout season last season before a horrible second half muddled his huge first half. He finished with 276 RBIs, but was well on a pace to be a 30 home run, 90 RBI kind of guy before struggling. And I think that you can pretty much look at the August wrist injury as a primary reason for that struggle. His home run to fly rate dropped to only 9% in the second half, and his BABIP dipped to 229. I think that this is the guy that breaks out into the, you know, that 30 home run, 90 RBI category. With a decent batting average, somewhere around 270 in 2017. So he's my first guy. That's my target.
I like him as well. I love that pick. Colby, who are you looking at?
So being in Pennsylvania, this might not come as much of a surprise, but I'm all in on an Andrew McCutchen bounce back this season.
Oh boy.
In September and October. I know. Hear me out. In September and October, he had the 896 OPS. And I believe he did admit to a thumb issue, and boy, I hope that was the problem. He was definitely bad last season. I still think people underestimate that he did hit 24 home runs last season. Of course, the batting average did drop immensely, and the stolen bases are borderline non-existent with this guy anymore. However, I think he's too talented to have another season like last year. I think the move to right field is actually going to help him. It may affect his psyche here in the beginning of spring training, but once that goes through, I like McCutchen this season. Don't expect 20 stolen bases. I'm hoping for anywhere from 12 to 15 steals this year, probably right around 25 homers again and pushing 85, 90 RBI. So I'm back in on McCutchen this year.
Okay, let me ask you then, McCutchen versus Gregory Polanco this year. Who you got there? Still McCutchen?
See, now once I started talking about this, I figured you were going to ask me that because I've gotten asked that a couple times now.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I thought I was being coy and unpredictable. Jeez.
No, you know, it's an intriguing question in that, you know, I think you can get Polanco maybe a round later than McCutchen. But I think they both have potential and we've seen what McCutchen can do, but he is on the downswing. I would probably still go McCutchen. There is some bias in there, but it's tough to say, but I would go McCutchen, but Polanco does have a little bit more of a safety valve than McCutchen does at this point, I believe.
See, I brought that up because Polanco was actually my guy that I liked, and he's going about five picks. You know, it depends on where you draft, obviously, but on average, he's going five picks behind McCutchen. So they're sort of being drafted as the same guy this year, and I like Polanco. He seems like he's on the upswing. He's coming into his power. A huge pull percentage increase from 39% to 49% last year. You know, Anthony, you mentioned how you know your home run speed picks up when you pull the ball like that, and I think Polanco found that out last year because he upped his hard contact to 35% from 30% the year prior. So that led to a career high 14% home run per fly ball.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. This is a tough one. And I mean, I just love Polanco. And, you know, my bias right now is Polanco because I think that he is on the upswing of his career. I think McCutchen is solid, but there's been a couple of years there with McCutchen where I thought that this was going to be the year that he's going to break out. And it just kind of hasn't happened. You know, that next level, it seems like he's kind of plateaued. And I think he's going to have a good season. But for me, I think Polanco takes it up another level in 2017. But it's a close call.
Yeah, and I think you'll get more speed out of Polanco as well. But you know what? Let's get negative here. some guys that we're going to avoid. We will start again with you, Anthony. Who are you absolutely not touching with a 10-foot pole this year?
Well, I don't know about not touching, but who am I less enthusiastic about this year that maybe others are more enthusiastic about is maybe Mark Trumbo. I think that the home run, the fly ball rate of 25% last year is going to be difficult to repeat, especially considering, you know, he made the jump from 15% to 25%. And although his hard hit rate was, you know, through the roof last year, it was 39%. I don't know how you do that, how you turn that on like that at 31 years old. So I think there's going to be a regression there. I mean, I think we're looking at the, you know, the upper 30 home run range, but I don't think we're going to see 108 RBIs from him. So I'm kind of avoiding him in most of my drafts.
All right. Colby, what do you say?
So the main guy I'm avoiding, I will refuse to draft this guy. It can be two rounds after his ADP. I still won't take him. It's Kyle Schwarber. Unless you're in a league that grants him the catcher eligibility, I am staying away from Schwarber. This guy can't hit lefties. His ADP puts him in the sixth round of a 12-team league. I see him as he's going to be in a platoon, but now since he will face righties, he will gain the edge in, you know, said platoon. But I don't like that he can't hit lefties, and late in the game, they could match up to get him out of there. He's going to lose at bats, and I don't want to draft a guy in the sixth round that I already know going into the season that I'm going to lose at bats from him, you know, every couple days. And that Chicago lineup is just stacked, and I refuse to draft Kyle Schwarber this season.
Interesting. I'm not quite as down on him as you are. I mean, I took him in one of my mock drafts. Sort of, and tell me if this is a flawed thinking, but I took him and hoped that he at some point might gain catcher eligibility. Do you think that there's a chance that he plays 10 games in season at catcher?
I think he could, especially with the nature of that position. You know, all it takes is, you know, one bad bounce on a breaking ball. It could hit, you know, Miguel Montero or Wilson Contreras in the thumb. Broken thumb, they're out for a little bit. Schwarber becomes a backup. So that's, if you're going to draft him, maybe that's your, you know, your aim with him, but it's definitely not a flawed way of thinking if you're going to go with Schwarber, but it's still not enough to persuade me to draft him.
Anthony, what are your thoughts on Schwarber? He's sort of an interesting player coming into the year.
He is an interesting player, and I'm kind of leaning a little bit with Colby here. I like him. If you play in a Yahoo league, he qualifies as catcher from the get-go.
Yeah.
And therein it just lies value because, you know, outside of Buster Posey, there's a pretty big drop there. So if he qualifies as catcher and, you know, you get that from the get-go, I can understand the sixth round ADP. But, you know, if I'm teaming him up against outfielders, no, that sixth round ADP falls to 10th, 11th round ADP. So, again, depends on your league format. If your league is going to qualify him as catcher, that's his ADP, I think, offers value in the sixth round.
And I guess we'll wrap it up with my guy, Adam Duvall. I don't know if this is an easy call. It seems like an easy call to me. His OPS dropped to 741 in the second half. It was kind of weird because his play discipline got a little better. He walked a lot more. He struck out a little less. So, like, that is encouraging. But his home runs just absolutely fell off, and I think that pitchers sort of realized that, hey, we don't have to throw this guy's strikes, you know, and he can't do much with it otherwise. So, crummy lineup, really bad batting average, really, really hollow power with probably lackluster RBIs, in my opinion. So I'm staying away from Adam Duvall. But that's going to do us, guys. Normally, I mean, this is just the top 50 outfielders, so normally we sort of do some deep diving, but we're going to save that for next week as we go deeper into the outfield pool and break it into two shows. So let's get some plugs out of the way before we get out of here. Anthony, anything you care to plug that we haven't touched on already?
I think we touched on it in the first part of this show. But again, head on over to InsideOfBaseball.com, check out our free blog. Yourself, Nate, you do a lot of analysis there for us. There's 12 other experts on staff that do a lot of sabermetrix analysis on the players, get you ready for your draft, and our draft software. Download a free demo of our draft software at insiderbaseball.com.
Very, very nice. Colby, again, thank you for joining us on short notice. What do you got going on these days?
Yeah, absolutely. You can see my writing over at Fantasy Alarm and Big Guy Fantasy Sports, and you can also catch me on the Big Guy Fantasy Sports Midweek, which airs every Thursday, once again, over at BigGuyFantasySports.com.
Very good, and of course, check out my work, as we said, at Fantistics, and then also, it is not too late to go to FantasyBaseballSummit.com, which I took part in. It's a three-day event, February 28th through March 2nd, and you can still go in and view. It's just a ton of videos, hours and hours of position previews and prospect content and everything that I took part in. Of course, if you get in on it after the 2nd, I believe it's $37, but you can go in and watch those at any point in time throughout the regular season, and I guess that's I think that's all I got going on. So until next time, folks, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.